next 3 hours of teaching. It is a privilege to have Dr. Marilyn Neubauer with us. Marilyn, as I mentioned over the pulpit a couple times, that she experienced miraculous healing in her own body and went to Bible college and got a foundation. She actually attended Rhema Bible College and sat personally under the teaching of one of the greatest teachers of healing and faith, I believe, of the last couple centuries, really, Kenneth Hagin. Some of you, many of you know his name, some of you may not. But God used him to reestablish a truth about faith that I think had been lost to the church for centuries. And that's the truth of that we walk by faith and not by sight. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We're saved by faith. We're justified by faith. I mean, everything just kind of works around faith. I won't go on. I start preaching. What do you say? Oh, well, I kind of already mentioned that. Try to squeeze into the middle as much as possible, kind of get in the center area. What else was I going to say? Yeah, faith. And, the Lord dropped a scripture in my mind this morning in Luke chapter 7. And it says that people from all over the region came to hear Jesus and be healed, to hear and be healed. And it just reminded me that hearing precedes healing. Sometimes we just want to come up and have somebody lay hands on us in 2 minutes and be healed and walk away, and that's all there is. And nothing on our part, but that's not the way it works. Even in Jesus's ministry, they had to hear the teaching. You know, faith comes by hearing, right? And that laid a foundation in their heart to be able to receive the healing that they were after. Hear and be healed. So these next 3 hours, you're going to have 3 different sessions. You're going to have a break. You're going to have some snacks out there. You can grab some snacks, use the restroom in the breaks. But you are going to be receiving the teaching that's going to lay a foundation in your heart and really begin to build your faith to receive the healing that you need. I'm just curious, how many need some kind of healing in your body? Well, let me see your hand. Just about everyone here? Well, you're in the right place. Praise God. So let's pray this morning and ask the Lord to help us focus and really hear what the Spirit is saying today. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place today. Lord, give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. Father, give us that divine focus in our minds and our hearts. We bind even the spirit of distraction that would come. And Lord, if distractions come to our mind, Lord, help us to just set them aside and just continue to focus on your word. You're going to speak to us today. And Lord, we say, speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. We pray for Marilyn today that you would pour your spirit out upon her, anoint her lips. Lord, let the word be like fire shut up in her bones. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon her. And we thank you for what you're going to do in our midst today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's give Marilyn a warm covenant welcome this morning.
Well, thank you. Welcome, everybody. I'm just so honored to have all of you come out on a Saturday morning. And what a beautiful church you have and what beautiful pastors you have. I've had a fun time getting to know them and meeting them yesterday. And, you know, you should always pray for your pastors because they are a gift from God. And especially, they are shepherds. And God has sent you shepherds, and you always pray for your shepherds, and just thank the Lord for them. Amen. So thank you again, Pastor, for having me come. Honored to be here. Before we get into the word, I just want to mention a few things, because, you know, when a carpenter builds a house, he has to use tools. Well, like he was saying, we have to walk by faith. Well, we have to build our faith. So I have out there a table, and I call it a tool table. Not a product table, not a book table. It's a tool table to build your faith. And so some of the tools I have back there, this little book is called Instructions from the Great Physician. We're going to talk about this. But it talks about God's word being medicine to our flesh. God's word isn't kind of like medicine. It is sort of like medicine. It is medicine. And one thing that's different about God's medicine versus man's medicine, God's medicine has no negative side effects. Seriously, you can't overdose. And if you've got something going on in your body, you should double up, triple up, quadruple up, read the Word of God all the time, because it is medicine. So, and this little book actually went number one on Amazon in two categories. So it's a very, very, I mean, I have sold thousands of these books. Another thing that I forgot to bring, I was shocked when I went to the book table, I didn't bring this, but it's a little healing packet. You can order that. I have a sample one on the table, but you can order it. It's my daily power bar for healing. And the way it works, there's a little scripture prayer in the back, but it's filled with healing scriptures. But the prayer, and it goes like this. Let's just say, for example, maybe you have diabetes. Well, you would say, spirit of diabetes, cancer, COVID, allergies, whatever it is. In the name of Jesus, I pull you down from your position of authority, and I break the power of assignment you have against me, for it is written. And then you find one healing scripture that really bears witness with you, and then you just boldly proclaim it. You know, you don't have to know 1,000 healing scriptures. If you just know one in here, by the stripes of Jesus, I am the healed of the Lord. It works. The word does work. We just have to work. Now, there's things that we may not always understand about healing, but anyway, you can order this. I so apologize that they somehow got left out. This is a very popular little item. It's designed to go in the bathroom. Bathroom. That's why you put it in the shower. It's laminated. I wrote it as bold as I could because I know you don't have your glasses on in the shower. He's got two. I've got two in my house, one in each bathroom. But one side is scriptures for wealth. The other one is scriptures for health. And I chose those two categories because those are the two areas the devil will attack you the most. He's going to attack your finances and your healing. And when he attacks your healing, it'll overflow into your finances. You know, the Bible says God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Don't wait to the end of the day to light your path when you can do it first thing in the shower. I'm serious. It's very powerful. One other thing really quickly is I have a little book in the back. It's called My Daily, the key word is daily, Power Bar for Healing. Now, this is my personal copy. That's why it is tattered and torn, because I use it daily. And it's not a devotional book, but there's the first part talks about developing intimacy with the Lord. See, it's not about a formula. It's all about a relationship with the author and the finisher of your faith. So there's scriptures in here for making bold faith confessions. There's one section is all about worship. I use that one every day. I just worship the Lord every morning. And so it's a powerful little book, but I don't want to spend too much time. But if you have any questions, you can always ask me later. But the first thing I want to do this morning is I want to address some things that can cause us to miss our healing. There are some stumbling blocks. And you know, the Bible says that we have to know His will and His ways. And in John chapter 3, or 3 John, I'm sorry, 3 John chapter 2, if you have your, how many have Bibles with you this morning? Praise God, because don't ever come to hear the Word of God and not have the Word with you. Excuse me. 3 John 2, it says, Beloved, in other words, it's addressing someone who's already made the greatest miracle in their life by receiving Jesus as their personal Savior. When you got born again, your spirit became alive to the Spirit of the Lord God Almighty. You were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no miracle greater than that. Being healed of cancer, being raised from your deathbed is not greater than the miracle of when you became alive to the Spirit of God. Amen. So 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper in all things and be in health. So there is a direct relationship. Or it says, as your soul prospers, which is your mind and your emotions. So there is a direct relationship between your health and the prosperity of your mind. In other words, the way you think has everything to do with the way you're going to walk out this life. Amen. You know, you can take a time management class. You can take a money management class. You need to have mind management. You need to have mind management. So to the degree that we prosper in our mind determines how much we prosper in the way we think. I want to look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. You probably know this scripture. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want to read it to you out of the New Living Translation. I don't know, do we have the scriptures up on the wall by any chance? If not, that's okay. But the New Living Translation on Romans 12, 2, it says, don't copy the behavior of the world. The customs of the world. It's always negative. It's always doubt and unbelief. Don't copy that behavior. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And how does he change the way you think? Through his word. He will change it as you read and apply his word. It says, then you will learn to know God's will for your life, and it is good, and it is pleasing, and it is perfect. Our desire is not just to be healed every time we get sick. Our desire is to walk in divine health. Yeah. You need to move up to a higher level. You don't want to have 20,000 healing testimonies. You need to start moving up higher and start walking in divine health. And you'll learn how to do that with the lessons I'm teaching you today when you learn to apply it. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, as a man thinketh, so is he. As a man thinketh, so is he. In the 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, 2:15, it says study. The number one first word there is study. That's our responsibility. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, you can rightly divide the word of truth if you study, and if you don't study, you automatically will wrongly divide the word of truth, which causes wrong thinking. It causes wrong thinking. It's all based upon the prosperity of the mind. How we think changes everything. Amen? Amen. So I want to point out three obstacles. There's many things that can hinder healing, but I want to point out three specific obstacles that will keep you from receiving your healing. The very first one, I want you to turn to Isaiah 54:17. Isaiah 54:17. It says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. In other words, for it not to prosper, it will be formed against you. So there will be a weapon formed against you, but is never meant to prosper. Now, I'm going to give you an illustration. At home, I live in San Diego area, and I serve my community as a volunteer chaplain for the police department. This is just a picture of me with my police uniform. But we have a vest here. Where is that vest? Now, I have to wear a bulletproof vest because my job is to drive in the police car with the officer. I'm actually a second pair of eyes for this officer. I just want to show you something. Well, his is different than mine, but I'll just put it on because I just want you to see this. The purpose that a police officer wears this bulletproof vest, the purpose of why I wear it is for what? My protection. So when I put it on, aha, I am protected. So no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. However, if someone fires a weapon at a police officer and he's got this, there's a metal plate in here. That's going to stop that bullet. But depending upon the impact of that rifle, if it's a high powerful rifle and it aims at this police officer, oh, it's going to hit. Because of the impact, it'll hit so hard. Oh, it can knock you down. Yeah. It'll put you on the ground. But you were saved because you got the protection. But it can knock you on the ground. When that police officer gets knocked on the ground, he doesn't lay there and think, well, it didn't work. Guess I'll quit my job. It knocked me down. It failed me. Didn't work. He doesn't think like that. He realized, well, that weapon did not prosper. Yeah, it knocked him down, but he's going to get right back up and fight and do what he's supposed to do. Are you with me so far? It can knock him down. Let me hand this to you, David. I'm sorry, I probably messed up everything now. So let's look at in the light of a believer. A believer, you're preaching, you're speaking the word of God, you're taking God's word every day as medicine, you're reading the word of God, but you get sick. But you just know the word works, it's going to work in my life, and you're reading the word of God, but oh, the symptoms get worse, and those negative reports, they just keep flooding in, and pretty soon it knocks you down. It puts you in bed. Pretty soon, it puts you in the hospital. Pretty soon, now you have to have surgery. And you think, well, I stood on the word of God, and it didn't work. I guess I'll quit using my faith. Faith, it just doesn't work for me. And so, what is it? Galatians 6:9. Don't cast away your confidence. Don't get weary in the fight. That police officer, he gets right back up and does what he's supposed to do. But so many times, I talk to people all the time that are sick. Well, it didn't work because I had to have surgery. I said, are you still alive? Yeah, well, then it's working. The weapon was formed against you, but it didn't prosper. You forget about that part. Yes, it can knock you down. But when it knocks you down, that's when people give up. Well, it didn't work. That faith stuff doesn't work. It does work. You have to realize, well, you're still alive. It didn't prosper. Does it mean it's not going to knock you down? You understand what I'm saying? That is so important. The police officer, he had a weapon on. Your weapon is the word of God. But that weapon can, I mean, the devil, he works 24/7 to knock you on your back. That's why you've got to work 24/7 to be in the word of God. You can't take the word flippantly. It works, but you have to be a doer of the word. Amen. So don't cast away your confidence. Another thing where people lose their healing, I'm going to give you another illustration because I just felt if I can help you to change your thinking, to start thinking, right thinking, it's going to help you to receive so much more in the teaching this weekend. Amen? So you understand, yes, you can get knocked down, but the word still works. Yeah. So you just get right back up and you keep fighting. Now turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, for he, referring to God, made him, referring to Jesus, who knew no sin, he was made sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The Message translation says, God put the wrong on Jesus to put the right on us. Amen. So God made Jesus to be sin. Let me give you a definition of the word made. Made means to be changed so that you qualify to serve a specific purpose. So Jesus had to be made guilty. He was not guilty, but now he had to be made guilty so that he qualified to pay the penalty of sin. What is the penalty of sin? The wages of sin is death. And that is talking about separating from God, being separated from God. So Jesus had to be made guilty so he could go to the cross and pay the penalty of our sin. And in exchange, we were made the righteousness of God. Therefore, now we were changed so that we qualified, just like Abraham or Adam walked with God in the garden. We are now qualified to walk with God in righteousness. Now I'm going to ask two ladies to come up here. How about you two ladies right here? You look like you'd like to volunteer. Any two ladies. I'll have you stand right over here.
I knew I was in trouble when I sat there.
Oh, so sorry.
No. I'm teasing.
I know you are. I'm going to have you stand right here, and you can stand right next to you. You can come right over here. Can you all see pretty well? Okay. You can stand right next to her. Now, she represents the world without Christ. Mankind is born, can you see that, with a sin nature. This is Jesus, no sin in him. But God made, he changed Jesus from being sinless. He took upon himself the sins of the entire world. He now became guilty of sin. He now qualifies to go to the cross and pay the penalty of our sin. But it didn't stop there. In exchange, we, when we get born again, we were changed.
Hallelujah.
We were changed into the righteousness of God. He became guilty when we were born again, not guilty. And then Jesus paid the penalty of sin. He went to hell, rose again from the dead. And when he rose again from the dead, he stood before the Father and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. The debt was paid in full. Jesus was restored back into the position he had of not guilty. And when God looks at Jesus, and when God looks at you and me, he sees us the same. Not guilty, not guilty. But if you don't get a revelation of who you are in Christ, that you have been made not guilty, then you hold on to shame, guilt, condemnation, inferiority. But when you stand before Jesus like this, there is no shame, there's no guilt, there's no condemnation, there is no inferiority. It's as though sin never happened. And that's where you have to let go of those things of the past. You have to let go and say, no, it's he doesn't even remember it anymore. Thank you so much, ladies. Does that kind of help you to see who you are in Christ? So important. I want you just to look at Isaiah 43:25. I just want to read these quickly. I, even I, am he who blocks out your transgressions for my own sake, for his sake. He doesn't want to remember the sins of us. So he does it for his sake. And he remembers your sin no more. That's why in Romans 8:1 it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He forgives and he forgets. As far as the east is from the west, he cannot remember. He has the ability to remove any remembrance of what you did. The moment you say, Lord, I repent, I forgive, I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior, you, at that very moment, you become the righteousness of God. And you don't grow in righteousness. It's a position that you have. We grow in our faith. Weak faith, little faith, strong faith, great faith. Faith grows. But righteousness does not grow. You can be born again last Sunday and be equally as righteous as I am. I've been born again for 70 years. A little bit more than I've been, you know, I am equally as righteous. Or the person that got born again last Sunday, we are equal. Because you don't grow. It is a position that you have. So you have to understand who you are in Christ and who he is in you. You are the very breath that he breathes. So awesome. You have been made. You are seated in heavenly places. No shame, no guilt, no condemnation. But see, if you hold on to that, then your faith is not where it needs to be to receive your healing. So can you see these two things? You think, well, the weapon was formed against me, so I just cast away my confidence against it. It doesn't work. So then you won't receive. If you hold on to shame, guilt, condemnation, unforgiveness, you can't receive. Is this helping you to understand? Let's change our thinking so when we start talking about how to receive healing, our mind is open. It's clear. Amen. Is this helping you? One more thing. You know, one other thing I love about righteousness, it says in 1 Peter 3:12, you don't have to turn there, but the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. He hears your prayers. So you are qualified to receive healing. You are qualified to have your prayers answered because you have been made. You were changed to qualify. You were changed as someone not guilty. You know, we have natural laws. If you're on trial and the jury finds you guilty, the judge doesn't say, well, we were just curious if you were innocent or not. You know, we didn't know. We were just curious. But now we know you're guilty. But either way, you're welcome to go home. No, if you're guilty, you pay the penalty. So Jesus took on our guilt. So he paid the penalty. And it was paid in full. So you are not guilty of anything. Are you born again? How many of you know that you're going to go to heaven? You are not guilty of anything. Let it go. Let it go, or you'll stumble all the rest of your life. Amen. You've got to learn to let it go. I want to talk about the third obstacle. It's called hereditary. Hereditary. It says in Genesis chapter 1, 26, God made us, we were made into the image of God and his likeness. You know, faith is of the heart. So you have to live from the inside out. How many of you are fully persuaded you're going to go to heaven someday? Fully persuaded. I can't talk you out of it. You already asked Jesus to come into your heart. Did you already do that? You already do that? Then there's no step two. There's no step two. So it's a done deal. It's a done deal. So in God's eyes, you're already there. You're going to go to heaven, right? In your eyes, you know, well, in the spirit realm, you're already there. You don't have to do one more thing. Not one more thing. You're already there. Well, when you got born again, you took on God's DNA when you were made into his image. So you have to receive that in your heart. You have to see yourself already healed, whole, righteous as Jesus. So you might be reading the healing scriptures, you're fighting the good fight of faith, but again, those negative reports, they keep flooding in. The symptoms get worse. You give up, you think, because then the devil says, well, after all, it's hereditary in your family. And you think, yeah, there's no hope. It is what it is. Don't ever, as a believer, say, it is what it is. Because you are saying that your situation is set in concrete and it can't be changed. Well, that is definitely a lie from the pit of hell. Because the Bible says all things are possible with God. But it's based upon all things being possible to him who believes. So if you don't believe, then he can't do his part. It's partnership. It's a relationship. So you have to get to the place that I believe what the Lord says. Because there is no diabetes when you were made into the image of God. There's no diabetes. There's no allergies. You have God's DNA. So just as fully persuaded you are that you are going to heaven, you have to be fully persuaded. I have got God's DNA. Old things have been passed away. Yeah, your sins have been passed away, but there is no hereditary to the believer. The only thing you're hereditary to is righteousness.
Amen.
That's your hereditary. Righteousness. No shame, no guilt, no condemnation, no sickness, no disease in the spirit realm. And everything begins in the spirit realm. Is this helping you today? You have to see. Don't let the devil say, well, you know, it's after all, it's hereditary, so you might as well give up. No, that is not so with God. All things are possible to him who believes that he has been made the righteousness of God. No shame, no sickness. No, it's not there. Everything starts. Your healing all begins in here. But it has to be with right thinking. If you've got wrong thinking, it's not going to work. That's why we have to look at the Word of God so that our thinking is made right. I pray this is helping you because you have got God's DNA. Amen. Let's turn to Isaiah 53:5. Isaiah 53:5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, what does it say? We are healed. It doesn't say, hopefully you will be healed. It doesn't say, well, you're going to be healed. Maybe next week. No, it says you are. You are. And then in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, by his stripes you were healed. So if the Bible says that you are and you were, then honey, you is. You is. Because you got God's DNA. So you have to see yourself as the Word says you are. You is healed. Again, you have to see yourself like the Word says that you are. Amen. We walk by faith, as Pastor David said, you walk by faith, not by sight. What does that mean exactly? It means that you walk by the truth of God's Word, not by the facts. Facts are real, but truth supersedes the facts. Truth overrides the facts. So you have to walk by the truth of the Word, not by facts.
Right.
Amen. Once again, faith is of the heart. So you have to live from the inside out, not the outward symptoms. You live from the inside out. So faith, and you know, what is faith? Faith is simply trusting in God's Word, that you trust what the Lord says in his Word. Faith is trusting. Sometimes faith, well, what's faith, faith, faith? It's trust. Just trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on logic and reasoning. That'll trap you up every time. So the eye of faith, which is in here, the eye of faith sees first what the natural eye does not yet see. Because you live from the inside out. Understand? You have to live from the inside out. Now, I never talk against doctors because God uses doctors. I mean, there are doctors that can be as anointed in what they do as any preacher behind the pulpit. God uses doctors. So I never talk against doctors. Matter of fact, over this weekend, I will be sharing all three of my healing testimonies. And every one of my situation, my situation was beyond the help of the medical profession, but not for God. So Luke 18:27, I want you to look there. Luke 18:27. The things which are impossible with men. Or we could say, what's impossible with the doctor is possible with God. Amen. So what does that mean? That means there's absolutely no hopeless situation right. with God. Right. Diabetes, sinuses, gluten-free, allergy, nothing is impossible. Don't settle for those things. You just, well, oh, did you know what? I'm gluten-free. Forget it.
Right.
Get over it.
Yeah.
Why do you have to be in such a handicap like that?
Amen.
People think, oh, well, it's... I mean, one time Brother Hagin was had been at prayer line, and this lady came up, and I don't know if she was crippled or something. Or no, she had a heart condition. And anyway, she was healed. I mean, she could just feel the healing in her body. And so she starts wobbling off, and Brother Hagin says, no, come back, let me, what about your legs? Oh, I've lived with it, that's okay, it's okay. No, she was willing to settle for a crippled leg. No, come back. Oh, no, it's okay, I can handle it. I can deal with it. That grieves Jesus. The price he paid for us to walk in divine health. Oh, it's okay. No. I can only imagine what Jesus said. What do you mean it's okay? I shed my blood. I went to hell for you. You know, when you read Isaiah 53:5, or when you read the scripture, how many times was he whipped? How many times was he whipped? All those horrible whippings on his back. In the original translation, he was whipped, 39 times? Wasn't he 39 times? He was whipped 39 times. In the original translation, it does not say, by his stripes, plural, we are healed. It says singular, by his stripe. Why does it say singular? Because after 39 whippings, horrible whippings, on his back, there was not one fraction of flesh left on his back, that it became one massive open wound, that they said, by that stripe, he was healed. And we said, oh, it's okay. Oh, I can only imagine how that must make him feel. Do you not realize what I did? You know, we look at the front of the cross. Turn around and look at the back of the cross. Look at those stripes. Don't just kneel down there. Oh, heal me, heal me, heal me. Get up. Look at the back. Look at the back of the cross. By one massive wound. We don't want to grieve the Lord. All things are possible with him. I grew up in church. I've been in church since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. That's how we say it in Nebraska. I'm just a corn husker. But from a knee-high to a grasshopper, I've been in church. Matter of fact, my brothers and I, we used to get a pin for perfect attendance. And my mother didn't drive. We had to walk to church. That meant every season, whether it was 90 degrees outside or whether it was 5 above, we walked to church. She didn't drive. We lived over a mile. Perfect attendance. But in those young years, there were two scriptures that I just embraced. The first one was Psalm 73:1, that God is good. And 1 John 4:8, God is love. And I just embraced, I thought, I knew that God was a good God to me and that God loved me. Never missed church, perfect attendance for years. But when I was 28 years old, I became very sick with cancer. I had a very rare form of cancer, very rare. It was cancer of the appendix. I was told later that I was approximately the 8th person in the entire United States to ever be recorded of that kind of cancer. I'd been sick about 4 or 5 months, and the doctor said, Marilyn, we have no idea what is wrong with you. I'm going to put you back in the hospital because you're going downhill really fast. So I'm going to put you back in the hospital, and this time I'm going to do exploratory surgery, and we will find what is the problem. So I was admitted into the hospital. Right away, the nurse came in to prep me for surgery, but because they did not know that I had cancer, especially that kind of cancer, they did not know that, the procedure they gave me prior to the surgery was the wrong procedure. She gave me that procedure, walked out of the room, and in about a minute, it felt like there was a volcano about to erupt on the inside of me. I thought, oh, what is that? I mean, I knew something is seriously wrong. I mean, I didn't feel good going into the hospital. Now, I'm in really something serious going on. And I grabbed my stomach, and I felt so sick, and I thought, I need to get to the restroom. I could hardly walk I got out of my bed. I'm holding on to the wall, holding on to everything just to get into that restroom. When I got in there, I saw something that grabbed my attention. It was a little red button on the side of the wall, and it said, emergency button. I thought, I need to hit that button, and I need to call for help. And I reached out to touch the button with my finger, and my finger bounced away. I thought, what was that? I reached out a second time to hit the button, and my finger bounced. It was like boing, boing. I thought, I need to hit the button. I reached out with my whole, I mean, I am really in horrible pain. I reached out a third time, but this time I'm going to hit it with my whole hand. And when I reached out with my hand, oop, I came in contact. I couldn't touch the button. I came in contact with a wall. And I'm thinking, well, there's an invisible wall here. I could feel this wall. I could not get past the wall to hit the button. I'm thinking, actually, my first thought, it might kind of sound kind of silly, but my first thought was, that wasn't nice of somebody to put an invisible wall up there. It's not nice. I couldn't get past the wall. I'm in excruciating pain. And at that moment, as I'm thinking invisible wall, I actually heard the audible voice of the Lord. He spoke three times. The first thing he said to me was, your time is up. Under your present condition, you are destined to die. Now, that's a strong report when it's coming from God. And we're not talking about the doctor. That God said, your time is up. And I've got two little babies at home, two little children at home. And God said, your time is up. And then he spoke the second time. And he said, your life has been removed from the hands of mankind. Your condition is now beyond the help of the medical profession. And I knew it had something to do with that procedure. Now it's too late to get into the operating room. Something is about to explode. And then the Lord spoke the third time, and it was the most beautiful of all. He began to quote from the Gospel of John, and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, through me, you can change your destiny. You don't have to die. And I immediately responded back to the Lord. I said, Lord, I've read that scripture so many times. And I always thought you were talking about spiritual salvation only. I know the day I got born again. So you must be talking about a physical salvation, like healing. I said, Lord, I've never been taught anything about healing. I don't know one thing, not one thing about healing. I said, but Lord, I do know that you are good to me. And I know that you love me. And if you have a healing for me, I take it. And I didn't know what to expect to happen. But let me interrupt my testimony to say something really, really valuable. It was so easy for me to respond to the Lord so quickly. Because when I was a little girl, my mother gave me, I don't remember how old I was, very little. She gave me a beautiful white Bible. And I started reading my Bible. And I started in Genesis and Exodus. I didn't understand one word I was reading. I didn't understand anything. But you know what was happening? I was getting very familiar with his voice. And when he spoke to me that day, having zero knowledge of healing, having very little understanding of all of this, I knew his voice. And knowing him makes all the difference in the world. And I said, Lord, I don't know anything, except that you love me. And if you have a healing for me, I take it. But you have to take time to spend time with the healer. Amen. It's not an option. It's not an option. I said, Lord, I don't know anything, but if you have a healing for me, then I take it. But I didn't know what to expect to happen because I had zero, I never even heard anybody give a miracle testimony. We didn't have, nobody got up in our church and gave testimonies of salvation or healing, nothing. We didn't even have missionaries talk in our church. But what I did learn in my church was that God was good and he loved me. And I learned to tithe. Those are the three things I learned as a little kid. But I didn't know what to expect to happen, but at that moment, it just seemed like my pain absolutely magnified, and fear wanted to grip me. And I don't know how I knew it, but somehow I knew, Marilyn, do not give place to fear. And I took hold of my left hand, and I grabbed my stomach. I thought I actually thought I could go into shock. I thought I could fall to the floor because the pain was so intense. I reached over to hold, there's a little support railing there in the bathroom. I reached over to hold on to that bar, and I grabbed my stomach, and everything within me, I cried out to God. I said, God, help me, help me, help me, help me. And at that moment, the scripture in Isaiah 41:13 came alive. The Lord says, for I, the Lord your God, I will take hold of your right hand. Fear not, I will help you. And I literally, at that moment, felt Jesus take hold of my right hand, which was on that support bar. I looked over. I could not see Jesus, but I actually felt his fingers. I felt his thumb, and he squeezed my hand. But it was a gentle squeeze, but at the same time, there was so much authority in that touch. And I began to sense agape love like I've never experienced in all my life. And he was showing me not just his love for me, he showed me his love for all humanity. It was like I saw John 3:16, that he loved the whole world. And then heat started coming out of his hand into my hand. And I looked at my hand, and all of a sudden, it was like watching mercury in a thermometer. I looked at my hand, and I could just see that heat. It was rising up my arm. And when it reached my shoulder, the best way to describe it was the motion of lift continued. And the Lord lifted my spirit out of my body. And then he opened my eyes to look into the spirit realm. I had never been taught anything about spirit, soul, and body. How many of you know that you are a spirit being? You have a soul and you live in a body. I didn't know that. And when he opened my eyes to look in the spirit realm, I saw my spirit. I saw my spirit. And I looked at me. I put my hands on my spirit and I said, wow, I'm a spirit. Because with my eyes open, he had me look down into my hospital room, and I looked at my body and I thought, well, that's not me. This is me. And I kept looking at my body, and then it's awesome. There's no words to describe. I mean, I was so aware I was in the presence of my Father. And I realized it's my spirit is the real, it's my spirit that worships the Lord. We worship in spirit and in truth. I thought, Lord, this is the part that says I love you. This is the part that worships you. And I looked at my body and I thought, well, that's just a house that I live in when I'm on the earth. And I mean, it was just, there aren't, Brother Hagin, you say, sometimes there's words that can't, there's no words that describe a spiritual situation, a spiritual experience. But it was so glorious. And then I actually saw my soul. I didn't know I could even see my soul. And I thought, wow, my soul has to be renewed. It has to be renewed. That's the part that has to feed on the Word of God every day. But then when Jesus, I don't know how long I was in that situation, that glorious moment, but Jesus began to teach me on healing, which is why it's become the main thrust of my ministry. Almost everything I will teach today is what Jesus taught me. And then he taught me some other beautiful things about death. But when he finished teaching me, he let go of my hand, and I was instantly back in my body. And I took a hold of my stomach, and I didn't feel any pain, and took a little breath, and no pain. I took a little bit deeper breath, and still no pain, and I took a, I'm healed. There was no pain, and I thought, I'm healed. But I didn't even know what I was healed of yet. All I knew was that I'd been touched by God. And all I wanted to do was go back to my bed and worship the Lord. I just wanted to stay in that cocoon, if I could say it. I didn't call for help. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I just wanted to embrace what had happened to me. And I was, I don't know how, it was about an hour later, an orderly came to take me to the operating room. Well, having no knowledge of healing, I couldn't begin to explain one thing, what had happened to me. He said, I'm going to take you to the operating room. Okay. We went. The next thing I knew, I was back in recovery. The doctor came in. He was waiting for me to come as conscious as I could get. And he said, Marilyn, he said, something happened to you on the inside. He said, I found cancer during the surgery, but the cancer was not attached to anything. Wow. It was like it was just in his own little, he said, I just picked it up and took it out. He said, I did not have to cut anything because it was not attached to anything. Therefore, you don't need chemotherapy. You don't need radiation because you didn't have cancer. It was just there. I just picked it up and took it out. He said, I know. Something happened. It. I know. I know something happened. And he kept saying, I think he tried to say somebody happened, didn't they? Somebody happened. And then back in those days, they would admit if they gave you a wrong procedure. And he said, we definitely gave you a wrong procedure, which should have killed you. Wow. But something stopped it. He said, I know something happened to you. And later, when I was all alone in my room, I heard the Lord speak one more time. You know, he knows us by our name. And it was so beautiful because I heard the Lord in a soft voice. He said, Marilyn, when I was holding your hand, I was also holding back your appendix from rupturing because I wanted the doctor to remove the cancer in its entirety so that you would know exactly what I did for you. God is good and he is faithful and the word works. I knew nothing about healing. But I knew the healer. I knew the healer. And that's where it lies. You have to know him. I want to just read something really quick and then we're going to take a break. This is from the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3:10. I want to read it out of the Amplified. Paul, God used Paul to write over 2/3 of the New Testament. And this is what he says. My determined purpose is that I might know him. That I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving, recognizing, understanding the wonders of his person more clearly and more strongly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection. He said, my determined purpose is to know him intimately. And then if you were to read in Jeremiah 23 in the Amplified, this is what the Lord says. And to me, they kind of go together. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise or the skillful person glory, or we could say brag, or boast in his wisdom and skill. Let not the mighty person, powerful person glory and boast in his strength or in his power. Let not the person who is rich in physical gratification and earthly wealth, riches, let him glory or brag in this one thing, that he knows me. That he understands and knows me personally. Personally, practically, and directly discerning and recognizing my character, that I am the Lord who practices loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. He delights when we know him. He doesn't care how talented you are. He gave you the talent. You may not even recognize. He knows all about it. He just wants to know, will you love me? Will you trust me? Will you come to know me? Does this help you today? I pray it's a real blessing to you. We'll take a 10-minute break, and then we're going to continue on. Amen. Thank you.